Some powerful words in the gospel today. I mean, I know we can say that all the time, but really today, it's John chapter 14. This is coming in the middle of the end of Jesus' public life, the bread of life discourse at the Last Supper, when he's preparing his closest friends for the passion that they're about to witness, the passion that we heard St. Paul talk about in the first reading. And what he says here, do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but who in here cannot relate to this? Who's here, his heart, maybe even right now today, is troubled? Who's facing anxieties and fears and stresses and the drama of life? Christ is speaking to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That word means to be mixed up, to be agitated, to be torn apart. We all can relate to this. He says, you have faith in the Father, have faith in me. He is the answer to those anxieties and the troubles that we face in life. And the reason he says this is because he knows that we will face things that will cause our heart to want to be troubled, that we will put ourselves in situations that causes our hearts to be torn open, to be anxious, to be afraid, to be sad, to want to run away. He says, don't let your hearts, don't allow those things from the outside world into your heart to cause you to be uncomfortable, to lose your peace, to lose your joy. How easy it is for us to turn to so many things that promise us peace and happiness and joy, and it robs us of everything. Christ today is saying, don't let that happen. Turn to me. And what he says, I'm going to the Father. I am going, he says himself, I am going to heaven, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So logically, you have a place in heaven. There's a place for you in heaven. And heaven isn't just like some location that we go to. Heaven is to be with the Father. So we can say in the Father's heart, there's space for you. You are created to be with the Father in heaven forever. And Christ has gone before us to make sure the path is clear, to make sure that we know how to get there, that there's nothing that's going to keep us or prevent us from being there. This is the powerful words in the scriptures today. Because how many of us feel lost in our life? How many of us feel like we have no idea where we're going? We don't know where we fit in. We've tried to find a friend group, or we just begin to put ourselves in situations so that we can be well-liked and that we can have friends because we're trying to find a place. Jesus tells us today that he has the place for us in heaven. And it's not, again, some place far away that we have to wait to get there. It's a place that we can be in now. And this is what's so important and so special and so beautiful about the Holy Mass, whichever room we celebrate it in. Once the Mass begins, we're going to heaven. That this is what's taking place right now, is that we have been kind of magically, mysteriously transported into heaven. And we're getting a foretaste. We're getting a first look at what our life in heaven will be like. That place that the Father has for us, that Christ has gone to prepare for us. And he says he will come back to us and carry us to show us the way. And this is what the church is. The church is this vehicle through which, with Jesus, we make it to heaven. Because yes, our hearts are so easily troubled. Our hearts are so easily full of anxiety and fear and wounds and sadness and hatred and animosity and all that stuff that we allow to steal our joy. Yes, that's true. And yes, we feel lost. Yes, we feel like there's so many opportunities in front of us that I don't know what to do. I don't know what to choose. And because our life is so easily changed, this isn't to rail against technology and the digital world and social media, but we have to be aware of the dangers. That we can, when we can just scroll to the next thing or swipe to the next thing or cancel this app and get this app or I start this movie or I start this podcast and I don't like it, I can just change. What is that teaching our hearts and our brains and our minds? When I can start dating this person today and break up and hook up with someone tomorrow, what are we teaching our hearts about what's permanent, about what's good, what's true? Where is joy? And Jesus says a three-letter magical word, the. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. The opposite of the would be a. I'm one of the possibilities. That's not what he says. I'm the only one, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The anxieties, the troubles, the struggles that we face, how many of them come, if we're honest with ourselves, it's because we're looking for life in something other than Jesus. That passing pleasure, the next best thing, that one night of fun. How many of us chase these things looking for life? How many of us get caught up in the nonsense of the world that tells us that truth is relative and that we don't really know what is true and it's true for me but not true for you and you can't impose your truth on me? How much anxiety in our heart comes from that nonsense? Christ says he is the truth. That means that what is relates to what I know. And he is the way. How many different paths have been laid out before you? How many different options just today, 9:24, whatever time it is? How many different options have you had today to make choices? Some for God, some against God. Maybe not so directly saying for or against God, but I'm making choices all throughout the day. There's many, many options. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe it. You can reject it, you can deny it, and continue to allow anxiety and fear and worry and trouble to kind of bubble up within your heart. Or you can ask for the grace to hear these beautiful words of Jesus as being the answer. Thomas. You know, Thomas is the one who, at the resurrection, said, I'm not going to believe until I can touch his side and see his wounds. The doubting Thomas. But he doubts today. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Maybe you don't believe. Maybe you're like Thomas and you doubt that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you've been walking. By this time, Thomas had been with Jesus for 3 years in intimate, close friendship. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord or close to him for many more years than three, or maybe this is your first real experience with the Lord. And the doubt is there. So what? Did Jesus condemn Thomas? Did he kick Thomas out because he didn't fully believe and fully understand? No. So what do you do with your doubts? When the priest comes up here and says things that you don't agree with, when your parents give you rules that you want to reject, when the teachers say things that don't make sense to you, that kind of contradict what we hear in the news and whatever else, what do you do with the doubts? Do you simply reject Jesus and the faith? Or do we let Thomas inspire us and say, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me, Lord. Thomas brought his doubt to Jesus. And this is the example for each one of us. And one way we can say doubting is a good thing, because you're wrestling with it. You're questioning it. You're looking for the answer. To simply close your heart and dismiss it, that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong disposition. It's good to wrestle with these things. It's good to find out where is the truth, where is the life, where is the way, if you take those questions to Jesus, because he will always point you to himself. He will always reveal himself to you more and more and more if you want him to. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't allow the fears and the anxieties of the world any space within your heart. And if you have, if you've already made life choices that have made your heart full of anxiety and fear, repent. If you're Catholic, go to confession. Seek the grace of the sacraments. Start afresh. Start new. Especially for us Catholics, we're all one confession away from glory. And the promises of Christ become a reality for us in a split second. As soon as the priest says those words of absolution, you have been set free. And once again, your heart is open. Once again, your heart is living in the way, the truth, and the life that you desperately seek. The only reason you ever turn to anything else is because you're looking for Jesus. And it might sound cheesy, and it might sound quaint, and it might sound whatever, but it's real. Ask any of us who've had a conversion. Ask any of us who's ever turned to anything else for happiness, joy, and peace. And we can tell you without a doubt that what we're looking for is Jesus. And it's the most important thing, the most practical thing you will ever do is to give your life to Jesus, to fall in love with him, to allow him to be your everything. It will determine everything else in your life. Maybe today is the day that you're ready to make this decision. As we're getting to the end of the school year, you're halfway through with your high school career, it's really a chance to make a profound change in your life. Say goodbye to all of that nonsense and say yes to Jesus. This is what he wants. This is what you need. Jesus tells us today, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in him. Ask him for an increase of that faith. Ask him for the ability to surrender to him. He will answer all of your questions, all of your doubts. He will calm all of your fears and your anxieties. Because as he tells us today and every day, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.